Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Frank Hurd with the Carpet and Rug Institute. He's Vice President and COO. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great, Kemp. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for being with me. I wanted to talk to you. I know you're up in Washington, D.C., and you've taken a big delegate of industry professionals up there. Tell us who's up there with you.
Yeah, I'd be glad to that, too. You know, we've got Rick Cooper from Shaw Industries is here with us, Jim Lucky from Mohawk, Lewis Fordham from J&J, Larry Cook from BoU, Brian Anderson, the president of the Dalton Whitfield Chamber of Commerce, and, of course, Werner Braun's up here with us, and we're really walking the halls up here in Washington, D.C.
And this is an annual trip that you take up there, and you actually have, I think you have more meetings than you usually do. You set up these meetings with key politicians that can influence what some laws may come out, and actually you give them the industry's perspective on some of this legislation that they're discussing right now. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. You know, it's an education tour for them and for us. We find out what they're doing, and we also try to make sure that they understand what the industry positions are.
Okay. And a little bit of the schedule.
Yeah, we actually started at 10 o'clock this morning with, you know, an organizational meeting, and we'll go through. We have a reception this evening for the what we refer to as the Friends of the Carpet Industry, which is primarily the folks that we target are from Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, and Tennessee, mm-hmm. which is where the bulk of, you know, our production and facilities are.
Right. And you're meeting with both congresspeople and senators, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. We're meeting with, you know, just to give you a flavor of it without going through the whole thing, but people like Congressman Lynn Westmoreland from the LaGrange area, mm-hmm. Senator Johnny Isaacson. We've met with Senator Richard Shelby. We're going to meet with Senator Kay Hagan. You know, we've met with Phil Gingrey. We have about 30 meetings set up, to the point that we had to split ourselves up into two groups to cover all the meetings.
Okay. And what legislation is it that you want to talk about? I mean, I know there's a lot of different laws, and there's things that the carpet industry certainly wants to have a voice in. So, you know, why don't you run us through some of the things that you're talking about?
Absolutely. First thing we absolutely want to talk about is jobs. The fact that you know, we've taken a severe hit during this recession. So that's why we talk about what we refer to as a HIRE Act, or the Home Improvement to Revitalize the Economy, and make sure that people understand that we think that would be good for jobs.
The HIRE Act is actually an incentive. It's a tax incentive for people who go out and spend money to refurbish their home. It gives them a little bit of a tax break. That's what the HIRE Act is, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, it's, you know, if you put new carpet in, you repaint the walls, you know, you put new lighting in, et cetera, those kinds of things that you do for home improvements.
Okay.
And we think that will just, you know, enhance not only for the retailer, but it'll help the distributors, and then obviously it'll help the manufacturers all retain jobs, and it'll help revitalize our economy.
Yeah, and versus stimulus money, this is really just kind of a tax break type thing, right?
This is a tax credit, $2,000 tax credit,
yeah,
that you would get for doing this. A tax credit has the advantage of the fact that it comes right off your taxes.
Right, right. And then the card check, tell us a little bit about what that's about.
The card check bill is a bill that, as a matter of fact, this is a centerpiece of what the union have brought up before and what they want passed by the Congress. And what it does is it takes away the secret ballot for unionization. It changes the rules on when a unionization is done. It requires mandatory arbitration after a very short period of time, and the arbitrator then sets the employment rules. Right now is not the time for us to be adding additional cost to our employee.
Right.
And we don't think the system is broken, and so why are we trying to fix it?
Right, exactly. Okay. And so what are some of the other initiatives you're looking at?
You know, obviously we come up and we talk about the cap and trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our opposition to cap and trade, that's going to increase energy costs, going to increase production costs. It's not only bad for the consumer, but it's bad for the industry. And again, will have an impact on jobs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things that we are talking to them about is the fact that EPA is considering declaring coal fly ash as a hazardous material. This is all based out of a spill from a wet storage facility in Decatur, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
What most people don't appreciate, the fact is, that coal fly ash is used as a filler in carpet, and it has many beneficial uses to improve the way the latex goes on. It actually increases the life of carpet. It also has some environmental benefits in the standpoint that we don't have to mine
Calcium carbonate.
Carbonate, you know, which is a filler. So it has a lot of beneficial uses in it. And the kind that we use is really almost a glass encasing. It does not a, it is not a hazardous material. We're hoping that EPA won't do that, but we're alerting our delegation. And they are very supportive of the issue. And as a matter of fact, Senator Shelby and Senator Isaacson have already weighed in with the EPA administrator on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to do this interview today is because I knew you were up there doing that. And a lot of people, they know about the Carpet and Rug Institute, and they know what you do around, you know, some of the marketing things you do and some of the green label certification things that you do and some of the, you know, the testing and science-based. But a lot of people don't realize that you're a huge spokesperson for the industry, and you're up there being proactive around making sure that legislation is not passed that would be counterproductive to the interest of the industry.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, this is something that we started about 6-7 years ago, where we started making an annual visit up here and holding reception. It's really a thank you reception for the folks who do all the hard work, you know, looking out for the carpet industry. Mm-hmm. And it gives us an opportunity to, you know, hear their concerns, gives an opportunity to introduce ourselves to them so that when they something comes down, they know who to call and know what kind of issues we're interested in. And it really becomes a very effective two-way street between not only us, but also for them to call us when they have issues or concerns and need some help on help what a piece of legislation will do to the industry.
And you're meeting with people from both sides of the aisle?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're meeting with people like, for example, John Barrow, who is a Democrat who represents the Augusta area.
Mm-hmm.
We're meeting with Phil Gingrey, who is a Republican mm-hmm. who is South Atlanta. We're going to meet with John Lewis, who represents the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, the things that affect us are not one party driven. They're things that we need to make sure that both sides understand exactly what's going on, and we want to make sure that we discuss those issues with them.
Yeah, okay. Well, while I have you, and I'm about to run out of time, every month, you know, you get kind of a feel for what's going on in the business with your backing report. And, you know, to remind people, you can't make carpet without backing. You statistically watch that. Actually, there's been a little bit of improvement there, hadn't there?
Yeah, you know, back in November, we saw a year-over-year improvement, about 14%, and summer numbers didn't carry that trend through. But in January, we saw a slight improvement again. It's about 7%
yeah.
improvement year-over-year, which is, you know, what we want to do. We're not worried about the improvement from the previous month, but a year-over-year improvement gives us an idea that things look like they're starting to get a little bit better.
Right, exactly. As a matter of fact, you know, Dan Frierson had his conference call today at 11 a.m. for Dixie Group, and he said that he's also starting to see a little bit of those annualized numbers where this January beat last January. So he too, is starting to voice that he's seeing a little bit of an uptick, which is encouraging.
One more piece just to add to that. You know, we were just left a meeting with Senator Isaacson, and he was pointing out to us that the housing inventory in Atlanta has gone from 140,000 to about 68,000. And so that's a fairly significant drop in the housing inventory in the Atlanta area. And so his projections are is that we've just about seen the bottom, and we're starting to see, you know, some price improvements in the housing market, which he thinks will be very beneficial, you know, especially as we see these tax credits start going away in the April timeframe.
Right. Actually, and he would know because he was in the real estate business before he got into the political business, wasn't he?
Absolutely. I think he still has his finger on the pulse of the real estate business.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Frank, well, I appreciate you spending time with us. We've been talking to Frank Hurd, who's up in Washington with a delegate of industry leaders, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.